God so loved the world that he did not send him away. We're going to share these kind of things every week. That's why we got to do the 1 minute thing now. The spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. And when we give testimonies like this, it's a prophetic word to you. Some of you may be worried about something that they got healed on that you want to heal up. But also a prophetic word to you that you'll make yourself available. That's just the life of Jesus lived. So I pray that in the future the testimonies will provoke your heart to want to go out with us. Because we put you with people so that you don't have to be afraid of looking to throw you to the wolves. You can watch them. You didn't take baby steps until you get comfortable with this. But you want all of us as Christians should be get to the place where we can boldly proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to anybody we meet, one person at a time. And this is what this is about. It's cultivating the lifestyle of signs and wonders of the love of Christ. So we'll be telling you about it. Thanks for having me. You did a great job. The thing about the prophetic, when he was at the local school recently, he said there was a prophetic guy there that spoke, and he said this. He said, Jesus died for the whole world. And doesn't it make sense that he would want to give a word to everybody? And so the opportunity to minister the miraculous is there. You just got to go for it. Right? I had mentioned last week that I was going to start a series on giving. I'm not going to start today. I am going to do a series on giving. It'll either begin next week or in 4 weeks. But as I, last night, about 7 hours in, I said, Lydia, I can go with passion and give what I have, because I'm a sanguine and I hate to put anything off. Or I can go with wisdom, make sure I have enough time to sit before the Lord and hear all the things he wants me to say and all this. I believe. Again, this is not about, this is for you and for all of us. I believe that God's going to use that whole series to change your life, literally change your life. Okay? So, let's pray into that. Somebody want to pray a 10-second prayer? Ron, you want to pray?
All right.
Words that's used a lot in the New Testament in describing God's solution for fallen mankind is the word mystery. And he kind of sums it up in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, where he says, Jesus is the mystery of God. He's talking about Jesus and what he accomplished at the cross. We've talked about before that the most pregnant word in Scripture is when Jesus said it's finished. At last night, this is an amazing word that covers everything that he accomplished, everything that he purchased at the cross. And it was all accomplished in his person. That's why Jesus is the mystery of God. And the Lord took all everything that's fallen and broken and put it in the person of Jesus. So when I use the word mystery, what I'm going to talk to you about today, briefly, is mystery. And I've come to the conclusion that I'll never fully logically understand it. I can't tell you. So if some of the things I say to you sounds like mystery to you, I think part of the reason that it's still mystery to us is because it is so big, it's so amazing, that we'll never really be able to comprehend until we see him face to face. When we see the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, then it will kind of make even more sense. But as I've grown older, there's a childlike place in my heart that says, I kind of see it. I see through a glass darkly. That's what it says about us. We see through a glass darkly. I can live with seeing through a glass darkly. I see it. I can't comprehend it all, but I believe it. That's why I love that song that Regina said. Because what we've said before is that faith never starts with what you believe. faith always starts and stands on what he believes about him. And even if you can't understand it all, that's what we stand for. It's what he believes about you, what he believes is accomplished, and our simply coming into agreement with the mind of Christ is what faith actually is. Alright? So I'm going to share a few verses, and I've shared on a number of occasions, but I want to share them from a particular direction that hopefully will bring some life to you, as it's just sort of ministered life to me even more. And the midst of the other things that I do, one of the ways I drive myself crazy in Libya is I read 4 or 5 books at a time. And one of the things, some of the books I'm reading is I'm reading everything I can get my hands on by people that I trust who are talking about the finished work of Christ. Because it's so awesome, even though it's so big, it's so amazing and astonishing, I just want to swim in that. I want to just walk in that, understand more as much as I possibly can. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We talked about this verse a few weeks ago. I want to talk to you about it a little bit. It's just a springboard to some other places. It says in verse 20, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Now, he's already said earlier that he's reconciled the whole world to himself. When he says, be reconciled to God, he's simply saying, embrace that reality. That he's reconciled you to himself. Even though you were the offending party, and he had done nothing wrong, he stepped in and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And through the finished work of Christ on the cross, he reconciled us to him, that we reconciled to God. And he, the Father, made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. We talked about this, let me just mention to you briefly. Righteousness is not just about right doing. It's about right being. The closest word to righteousness you see in the Old Testament that matches the word in the New Testament is the word shalom. It carries the idea of wholeness. There's a place in 3 John, verse 2, and he says, John prays, "I pray that you will prosper in every way." That's really not a very good translation. The word there really comes from 2 words. It means that you'll have a journey well done. That you'll have a journey well done in every way. And he talks about your soul prospering, body prospering, all those things. But it's the word journey well done. In Isaiah 53, which we'll look at in a minute, he talks about the chastening for our well-being. So when you use the word righteousness, it's kind of like we've said before. It's like if you were to say to someone that they're right. And you're not saying that their argument is right. You're just saying there's something right about them. Their ship has been right. There's just something whole. There's something healthy about their life. You with me? It kind of has the idea of wholeness. That place in Ephesians, it talks about everything being summed up in Christ. The word "sum" there is get it together. That's kind of what righteousness is. All right? So he, the Father, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might get it together in Christ. That we might have the get it togetherness of God in Christ. But that's astounding. He's not just talking about righteousness in terms of you have this right standing before the Lord. The word righteousness is a much bigger word. It's got the idea of new creation, of wholeness. I Isaiah 53. We don't teach from this chapter very much because it's full of mystery. But it's incredible. Now remember what that verse said in 2 Corinthians. Now you have to realize, I spent 7 hours yesterday coming up with the word, the beginning word, the introductory word about giving, and gave up on that about 11 o'clock last night. So, I have to be careful not to process this word out loud, and try to keep it short, knowing that this is right out of the oven and it hasn't been cooking for very long. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might experience the wholeness of God in Christ. Amazing. He didn't just forgive you of that sin that you keep struggling with, that you committed, the big ones in the past, that the enemy keeps haunting you with. He became that sin. That's different. He became that sin. It doesn't belong to you. He became that sin. He didn't just take the sin away. He became that sin. Whatever that sin might be. In Romans chapter 6, we've quoted these two verses a lot. Says, for the death that he died to sin. Not just for sin. The death that he died to sin. Once and for all. But the life that he's living, that's righteousness. He's living to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's righteousness. The life that Jesus lives, which is a whole together life. Life more abundant. It could be, righteousness could be broken down and described or defined as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where the enemy's robbed us from this wonderful, precious word is that we've been kind of taught that righteousness is just things you don't do. It's not sin. But it's a life that he's living. That carries all kind of positive, wholeness qualities. Right? Isaiah 53, verse 1. So I'm going to stop at a few little phrases and make a few little comments, and then just trust the Holy Spirit will rock your world like he's rocking mine. Who has believed our message? You know why? You know why he said that? Who could believe this? We're called to believe something that's so unbelievable that one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, prophetically about the finished work of Christ, we are called to believe in something that starts off saying, who can believe our message? It is so good and is actually so simple that it's hard to believe. Isn't that what the angels told the shepherds? There's good news for you that will bring great joy to all people. That there has been born for you this day a Savior, who is Christ our Lord. Being our Savior is so much bigger than what we've ever imagined. That's 2 Corinthians 5. That he, the Father, made him the Son, who knew no sin, to become sin, to be sin, on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? he grew up before him like a tender shoot, speaking of Jesus, and like a shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He has a stately form and majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now I'm just going to, we don't have time to do this. It's going to give you what the Hebrew word literally means. And it's by far the most common way this word was used. The New American Standard is by far the best translation. But the good news is so good, even the New American Standard translates the words not the way they should have been translated, because it's who can believe the message. So let me read it to you again. This is what the Hebrew words literally mean. He was despised and forsaken of men, and a man of pains, and acquainted with sicknesses, and like one from whom men hid their face. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely our sicknesses he himself bore. And the word therefore isn't that he carried them away. He bore them. It carries the idea that he became. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He didn't just touch things and take care of them. Everything was solved in his person. He's the mystery. He's the solution. It's as if the Trinity, and of course it didn't work this way, they were taken by surprise. How are we going to fix this? And the solution was, the Father said, we're going to put all of this stuff in you, and you're going to become all that. Everything broken, everything fallen, all that, you're going to become. And you're going to kill it. Buried. Then the whole thing's going to be raised up new in you in the resurrection. That's amazing. I don't understand it. But it makes me want to dance. If I still could dance. You don't want to see it. Surely our sicknesses, he himself took on the person he became. And our sorrows, our pains, he carried. Well, the word here, carry, also means to bear. But it's a different word for bear. He uses two different words here. Surely our sicknesses, he bore. And our sorrows and pains, he bore. It's just two different kinds of bearing. He bore sicknesses, he bore pains. And yet, we ourselves esteemed him stricken. We thought he was just being stricken. But he was really healing and making all things new. It's what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, that if the powers of darkness had known what he was about to accomplish, they never would have crucified the Lord. What they thought they were doing to bring something to an end, birth, a whole new creation. Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, sin. And the chastening for our wholeness, well-being, joy, the chastening for our wholeness. The shalom carries wholeness in like every area of your life. And the chastening for our wholeness fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. sin that's haunted you, he became. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It all happened in him. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. Now remember that verse, and remember this. The death that he died too soon. Not just for sin, but too soon. So he took that sin that's haunted you way before you ever did it. The one that you'll do next week. He took that sin. He became that sin. And took it to the cross. And was crucified. And he buried it. He died to it. Because see, he became that. He took that in this person. He became that sin. Was crucified and died to it. And left it in the grave. And rose up alive. That's been buried. He became it. Killed it, rose from the dead, hid in the grave. And you were in his person. How do you become that sin? Because he died on the cross as you, not just for you. It's unbelievable. Who can believe this message? He said, well, what about these problems I have? What are we doing spending your time listening to the voice of Elijah? I thought we were going to believe what he thinks about us. What he says about us. Now hear me. Let's go further. There's all kinds of sicknesses that we're covers. That anxiety that haunts you, he became it. He took you and that anxiety in his person and became that anxiety and died to it and rose from the grave. We were in his person. In his person, he became that anxiety, died to it, and then raised me up with him, dead to that anxiety. Well, what about these feelings I have? If you feel like he doesn't love you, does it mean he doesn't love you? That's a lie. And you don't need to spend your time entertaining a lie. He became sin on your behalf that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And God ain't anxious. Death that he died to sin once, and life he lives for God. Even so, in light of the fact you were in him when all that happened, even so, consider yourselves dead to that sin, or that anxiety, or that fear, or that lust, or that grief, but alive to God. That's the life that you have. That's who you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. We're transformed. How? By believing in our love. Believing the truth, standing on the truth, and refusing to believe the lie. That was that pornography. He became that. He became that on your behalf. And in his person, you, in his person, he as you, he as the guy or girl addicted to pornography, he as you died. Buried. rose from the grave, a spanking new person. Dead of him. The death that he died to sin once for all. It happened 2,000 years ago. Oh, I want to get set free from this. It happened 2,000 years ago. When the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin. That's God calling you and saying, amen. You know what I'm saying? It's a radical shift, but it's a simple thing. Be a sheep. Stop trying to be a spiritual rocket scientist. Keep it simple. The death that he died to sin, he died once and for all. And you were in him in that death. And he became all the yucky stuff that you have allowed in your life. He became all that and died to it, buried it, rose from the grave. You and you with him. That bitterness thing in you. He became that. And the person who can't forgive died on the cross. That thing was left in the grave, and you were raised up in him, and you've become the righteousness of God in Christ. Even so, consider yourself dead, sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus, alive to God in his life, and Jesus has no problem. So you think you have the lie, I'm bitter at this person, I can't forgive them. Stop. That's a lie. That's not who you are. And remember your union with Christ, and from him, in union with him, that sin is forgiveness. That's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We think it's so complicated. No. When Jesus at the cross said, perfect. He knew. Accomplished. He knew accomplished. Okay. I'm going to keep going because of his name. But I think we could go on and on with examples. Even bigger than that. I have a hard time coming up with language. Trying to explain the volumes of language what Jesus simply explained and said to the cross. So, Bishop, a lot of people still get sick. A lot of people still sin. We fight the good fight every day. I don't know all those answers. Let's just start with believing what he says. And we'll figure out the rest of the theology later. Or not. Amen. Alrighty. That wasn't bad for dropping with no word, was it? God's word. Yeah, I was driving into that. I was driving in, I said, wow, isn't it good to have you here? You're unsinkable. Believe me, Joe. It's like trying to kill a frisbee. We were driving around and I thought, I don't ever think about you. I wish I could tell us, I think it's because I have this trial to work. All righty. You believe in the creed? No? No. That's your problem. You don't have time. And we actually don't have time. We need to shorten.